Well, for those of us who don't know me, my name is Pastor Benson, and this church is called Christ Faith Tabernacle, Bristol. Our main headquarters is in London, but this is the Bristol branch. All right, so like I said, for the next 35 or so minutes, I'm going to be talking about one or two things. Now, what we did is, at the moment, we're starting a new, I'll call it a new series, a new set of teachings. And what came to my heart to call it is living the life, living the life. And I think last week I mentioned that if I walked up to someone and I said, are you living the life? Maybe the first thing that might pop up to their minds is, I'll be living the life if I won the lottery for sure. But I just said, look, we're not talking about living life because you've won the lottery. We're talking about living life as a Christian. And I think one of the things I mentioned was the fact that, look, being a Christian is not just about coming to church meetings on a Sunday. You should, you know, if you can. And it's not just about saying, okay, I've been good today, or I was, you know, better yesterday. I wasn't upset with my neighbor who throws rubbish over my fence all the time. You know, no, it's not just about being, you know, doing the right things. It's beyond that. Being a Christian is actually a change of life. It's an actual lifestyle that comes from within. So it's not something that we make up, so to speak. It's not something that we do with gritted teeth, saying, no, I'm not going to be dished today. I'm going to, you know, no. You can do that if you want, but that's not really what it's about. You understand? So I just thought that, okay, let's go through a number of things specifically about the Christian faith that's very practical. Practical in such a way that there are things that we can relate to on an everyday basis. So it's not just sectioning our lives and saying that on a Sunday I, you know, attend a church meeting, on the other days, forget about it. No. So we want to look at those practical things. Now, so that's what we'll be looking at for the next couple of weeks. And we'll be saying, we're looking at them from a perspective of living the life. And I've called it living the life of a Christian. So I'm just going to mention the things I spoke about last week. Then I'll move on from there. Now, I just believe very strongly that the first thing that we need to understand, or that anybody needs to understand, is if I'm doing something, if I attend a meeting like this, or if, not even from a church perspective, if someone tells me, come and invest in a deal, or do this and this will happen, the question that I would ask, first of all, is, why do I have to do that? Why do I even have to come to a church meeting like this? You know, I'm that kind of person. I remember a while ago when I was in, this was years ago, university, I had, in my first year, I was in this room with other students, and there was this guy who was like, was a bunk bed, apparently. I was top bunk. This guy below me was a Christian guy. And this guy said, I mean, that guy must have used every scripture he knew in trying to convince me to become a Christian. Some of my sisters were Christians. Some of my, you know, people I knew were Christians. But in my mind, I was like, you know, forget about it. It's not really for me. Do you understand? So I had a very logical perspective about it. It's like, okay, if I'm doing something, then what is it about? Why am I doing it? So the same way I'm asking us that, being a Christian or coming to a meeting like this or saying, okay, we want to look at living the life of a Christian, why should I bother doing it in the first place? What's the point? Do you understand? What's the point? So that's the starting point. So the first thing I said last week, or the things I said last week we'll look at in a minute. The first thing I said is that for every single individual who is born on the earth, every person of the over 6 billion people that are on the surface of the earth, the first thing is this: God has a plan for each and every person. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures here. We'll look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'll quickly go over that, then I'll look at what we're actually looking at today. So the first thing we want to realize is that you are not just someone who happened to land on the surface of the earth by mistake. You're not just someone who is insignificant, even though we might think that you are not. So the first scripture we want to look at from the Bible is saying here, this is God speaking. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So what this tells us about God's plan for us is that God didn't just wait till you were born. And when you were born, he started scratching his head, metaphorically, saying, oh, I think this guy is going to be like a good footballer. I think this guy, the way he's like, you know, eating up his breakfast very quickly, I think he's going to be, well, let me not crack any funny jokes here. So God isn't just looking at what you're doing at the moment or what you used to do to determine his plans for you. So God is not saying, he's not the kind of person that's saying, okay, this person is a good person, so I think I will have a good plan for them. No. What this tells us is that before you were born and before I was born, before anyone is born, God has a plan for them. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I had set you apart. So the first thing we want to understand is that, look, whether we realize it or not, before we were born, God had a plan for us. He has a plan for every specific human being. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now, God goes on and he now says a couple of things more. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So the next thing we see here is that God isn't just saying, I have a plan for you and that's it. He goes on to say, look, this plan that I have for you, it's a good plan. It's a plan to give you hope and a future. You know, I've come across a lot of people, and when I have a conversation with them about God, about the Christian faith, people ask me all sorts of questions. They say, okay, if God has a good plan, as you're saying now, what happened? Can you explain to me why people are dying in China, why this earthquake happened here, why this, and all sorts of reasons? And what I tell them sometimes is that you've got a fair point there. These things are facts of life. But I don't have the answers to most of these things that you're asking. But one thing I know is this. Whatever is happening, what the Bible tells me is that God has a good plan for me. Irrespective of where I am at the moment, God has a good plan for me. Now, the next thing is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. So just giving us a recap from last week, that God has a plan for us. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So this is now saying that, look, not only does God have a plan for you, not only did he formulate this plan before you arrived on the planet, he said something here as well. It says his divine power has given us everything we need. He didn't say some things that we need for life and godliness. Now, what does this mean? This means God sees each and every one of us from two perspectives. Well, he has a plan for us that I would say fall into two categories. One is life, and the other one is godliness. Life is whatever it is we do on a daily basis. Waking up in the morning, going to college, going to school, waking up in the morning or doing your chores or selling something or whatever. God has given us everything we need for it. That's life. The other thing is godliness. Now, godliness is a part of us that's meant to be like God. So God has given every person the ability to live godly. And when I say to live godly, that's to come into begin to live a life that God prescribes. That's how I would describe it. Now, the other thing I mentioned is that from Ephesians, so I've said God has a plan, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. So the next thing I said was that, okay, God has a plan. So what's my role? Why am I talking the way I'm talking? Why am I pacing up and down and trying to explain these things? Well, I'm doing so because in establishing God's plan for your life, God has done something. And that's from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So my role as a pastor, so that's me there. I remember a friend of mine in Bristol here was telling me, he was just joking, and he said, do you know, Pastor Benson, my daughter thinks your first name is Pastor. So I said, oh, Pastor, Pastor. You know, because I just say, okay, what's, when people ask for my name, I say, oh, Pastor Benson. So he says, my daughter actually thinks your name is, first name is Pastor. I said, oh, that's interesting. But that's not my first name. My first name is Kehinde, if you're British. If you're American, it's Kehinde. If you're Nigerian or African, Kehinde. So it just depends. You can pick which one you want. But what am I saying here? So my role here is to prepare God's people to kind of like push us in the direction that I believe God wants us to do, go. Now, that direction doesn't end on a Sunday morning service like this, as I explained. Like I mentioned previously, you don't have to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So my role, so to speak, is to look at everybody as much as I can and try and feel in my heart what, should I say, the giftings that we have and to push us in that direction. And I was saying last Sunday as well that sometimes it might seem like, you know, I'm slightly nosy when I'm asking, oh, so what are you up to? And I text you and I message you and say, how are you doing? How's your week? This thing you mentioned last week, how is it going? Are you looking for this? How are your studies? Are you, so it's me being nosy on purpose. Although not like extremely nosy, you know, you can being nosy because I'm concerned about everybody that comes to this church. I should be, because that's what God has put in my heart. So even if I wanted to just, you know, ignore everybody and just go about my business, the truth of the matter is that I'm not able to. So my role is to think, this person that, you know, his hands are like this all the time, is he a guitar guy? Let's put a guitar in his hand. This person that, you know, likes selling goods, what can we do to you? Do you understand what I mean? So that's my role. Then what I ended up saying last week was the fact that, yes, God has a plan for us. Yes, my role as a pastor is to be, you know, to try and like sense everybody's giftings and try and highlight those. But I said one thing as well. I said the beginning of God's plan for any man, before anyone can even begin to live out God's plan, I mentioned John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. And I'll read John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, what do I mean by that? This guy came to Jesus and he was asking him all sorts of questions. This guy was a really intelligent guy. And he was asking about God and all these things. But Jesus just went straight to the point. First things first. And he said, look, paraphrasing now, before you can even begin to experience the plans of God, there's one thing that you must be first. And it says, you must be born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? That's the same question this guy asked Nicodemus. And Jesus said, what it means to be born again, explaining, is, number one, accepting that in this world, everyone that's in this world is a sinner, and the only way we can be removed from our sin and to come into relationship with God is to, one, repent. What does repent mean? Turn away from our ways, our sins, and turn to God through Christ, trusting only in Christ for our life and for salvation.